Our reading is Psalm 146, and you will find that on page 632 in the Church Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits departs, they return to the ground on the very day their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'll get settled here in a minute. It's good to be here, and it's nice to see every one of you. And thank you again for everyone who's taken part. Thank you for those who have prayed for me. I really do appreciate that. I've really enjoyed this series that we're doing in Advent called Small Wonder. It's helped me each Sunday morning and during the weekly readings to prepare myself for Christmas, for the real meaning of Christmas and the rather than the commercialization of it. Because I can get so wrapped up in doing this and doing that, that it's good to pause and to know what Christmas, why we celebrate this wonderful time. And the first week, if you remember, we were looking at God's wonderful plan from Isaiah chapter 2. And Simon opened up the series to us using the illustration of the chess master who plans way, way ahead. He knows all what's going to happen for every eventuality and how God does this. And he says sometimes makes a move that you think, well, what in the world for? That doesn't make sense. But sometime afterwards, it finally we realize why that particular thing happened. Why we failed that test. Why we didn't get that job. Why that person wasn't the one that we wanted to marry. Why that tragedy happened. Why my illness. We don't understand it. But God's got a plan for each one of us. And that works out. He is the master plan. The following week, we looked at the wonderful news, a hidden wonder. Talking about the world being in darkness, and we just read the newspapers, and how many of us just despair and turn off the television when the news comes on? We just can't bear it because it seems like it's a darkness in this world. But the good news is that God has wonderful news, and it's like a light shining in the darkness. And we looked at that. Christ is the light of the world. Today we're going to be looking at the wonderful works of God. God is in the detail of various things. And then next week we're going to be looking at wonderful welcome. Welcome from God. That's the welcome news that we're going to receive. It's from Isaiah 7. So we continue this morning with the Advent. Wonderful work of God. God being in the detail of these things. You know, sometimes I'm not sure why it was called small, because when you look at the result, it's magnificent. It's fabulous. It's worldwide, universal. I suppose it's small because it starts off so insignificantly, like a little seed. Well, like a baby. How fragile, how small, and yet that baby had an impact upon the world that changed everything. Small and perhaps insignificant in our eyes, but not in the whole plan of God. Like I said, it starts off like a small seed of a mustard, and it grows into a huge tree for many things. God's wonderful works should make us rejoice and praise Him. We're going to look at an introductory video talking about the marvel of a monarch butterfly. It's only 2 minutes, but just consider how small and fragile a butterfly is. And look at the detail that God has done in this.
Have you ever wondered where butterflies spend Christmas? Did you know that the monarch butterfly makes a 3,000-mile journey from Canada and the United States to spend the winter in central Mexico and then travels back again? Somehow, millions of these tiny, fragile creatures, weighing less than a paperclip, navigate thousands of miles through wind, rain, predators, storms, and heat to a forest they've never seen. No GPS, no guide, just instinct, design, and a mysterious built-in sense of direction. What's astonishing is that the butterflies who arrive in Mexico are not the same ones who left months earlier. It takes multiple generations to complete the round trip. Unlike birds or whales that complete a round trip migration in one lifetime, monarchs require 4 or 5 generations to complete the full migratory cycle. Each generation somehow knows the way. God, the wonderful designer and maker of the universe, wrote His beautiful design into the story of the butterfly. Generations trusting God's design to bring them to where they need to be. Both the tiny butterfly and the vast distances of migration show us God's attention to detail in design. Psalm 146 speaks of God's creative work, both on a micro and a macro scale, and encourages us to turn to praise as we marvel at His creation.
Years ago, I remember having a video about the monarch butterfly. First time I ever heard that the butterfly would travel that far. And it's amazing. It just, you know, how could it do that? That little tiny thing. Look at the picture there carefully. How intricately it's beautifully made out, the markings of it. And, you know, very few people actually seen a monarch butterfly. And yet God goes into the detail to make it something beautiful to look at. And then the other thing that amazes me was that it could go 5,000 miles and it takes a year to do, you know, the whole trip, a round trip, and yet not even the same generation, sometimes 5. How do they do it? How does it happen? Who plants it in the brain? Because they would have no way of knowing how to go there. Nobody to show them. And yet God had put it into the butterfly brain, if it's got one. It could do it and does it. And all the dangers that it does, that it fails. God is in the detail. There's beauty in it. And truly, it's marvelous in our eyes to what God has done. And with the psalmist, we should praise our God. Do you remember last week, if you were here, Graham had enormous, it was a huge, a Christmas cracker, wasn't it? And, well, Graham, the way he was, I suppose, he thought, oh, I'm going to get a big gift out of that. And they pulled the cracker, and he got a couple of seeds, I think it was, of sunflowers. He was really disappointed. But then he realized that it can grow. And some of those things really grow tall. But it reminded me of our house. On spring, the last couple of springs, Glenna has planted some sunflower seeds. And she just, they're hard shells outside. And you put them in the soil and a bit of water and you wait. And they begin to sprout. And then we transplant them. And I look at those things. They're spindly. They're just, they're so weak. And I say, this isn't going to amount to anything. It's not going to make it. But you know, they do. And they grow strong and they grow tall. Not as tall as those, but they're fabulous. And again, I look at those seeds and I think, they're hard. How can something like that grow into something so big and so beautiful, produce as many seeds? And yet it does. And again, we got to say, it's God has implanted in that seed somehow to do that thing. Truly, God is in the detail and His wisdom and His power. He brings it to life and is truly something to praise God for. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 146. As John said, it's on page 632 if you have a pew Bible. But if you don't, use one of your own Bibles. Oh, I think it's very important. And follow along with this passage that we're going to be looking at. In the Septuagint, I can't even say it right, but you know what I mean. No, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Sorry. There we go. This psalm is attributed to Haggai and Zechariah. So it's written sometime after the other psalms. And Zechariah was the one who said to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And further along, he says, who dares to despise a day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, I know this was written in the time of the rebuilding of the temple, and that's what it refers to. But the principle is the same. It seemed insignificant and small, and what's the purpose? But when the Spirit of God is in it, it becomes great, and great things are done. Now, this psalm is sandwiched between two hallelujahs. We have it in the translation in the NIV as praise the Lord, but the actual word is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I understand, it means, of course, praise God, but I understand that hallelujah, or hallelujah, is a worldwide language. You could just about go, I think, to any place in the world that's for the main languages and say hallelujah, and they would know what you're talking about. I checked with Brian. I said, how do you say hallelujah in Welsh? He said, hallelujah. It's spelt differently and may look differently, but it said the same thing in the way it is. It's a praise to God. So, you know, it's a brilliant thing. It's great. And anyway, this psalm goes on to say how the writer is going to praise God with his whole being. His whole body, his soul and mind and praises worships God. All his life. Not just on a Sunday. Not just an hour a week. But the whole life. Worship is your whole being. It's your life before God. Let's not forget that. He praises God because God is the one he can trust more than human beings. He's been let down. God is his hope. He praises God for his creative power. He praises God for his eternal power. Hallelujah. It's so brilliant. You know, sometimes we're so in a much of a hurry to do things. We rush from one job to another, one matter to another. We're all that way, aren't we? We met some missionaries one time, and the missionary people said, stop and smell the roses. And John and I remembered that. Sometimes when we get too busy or going out and rushing, let's just stop and smell the roses. And when we stop and pause and meditate on what God has done, what God has given us, it does cause our hearts to praise and to worship Him, or certainly should, by all means. You know, sometimes when Paul Hills preaches here, remember he has a little, every once in a while he says, now let's go over the passage again. And I'm going to read it slowly. And I want you to think about each phrase, each word. And he does it maybe twice. It's a brilliant thing to do. And I think this psalm here is a good one for you to do that as well. I'm not going to do it today. I don't want to take his thunder. But go home and read this psalm two or three times slowly. Go over what it's saying. Don't hurry. And then with the psalmist, we will say, hallelujah. You know, the writers, I said, experience false hopes, false help from people he looked for. He looked to people for help. And they let him down because people are human. We fail, don't we? But he knew that God wouldn't. The people might be willing, but they can't help. God is the one who doesn't fail. God's the one who maintains. God's the one that helps us. And several times we read in the Bible, put your hope and trust in God. God is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can say hallelujah for that. I like what the writer here refers to as God as the creator. And I think it's important for us to remember this. To remind ourselves that God is the one that's created all the things that we see in the beauty. I know that we are often taught as a fact that the Big Bang happened. Big Bang, my friends, is just a theory. They can't prove it because they weren't there. Now, I admit that the Big Bang has got to be taken by faith. But the same thing, creation, we weren't there, we can't prove it, but it's something that we believe and accept by faith. So let's not be drugged into thinking, oh, it all happened because of a big bang. God is the one who created all things. It has to be taken by faith. God's word is true. He is the one behind all that we see. He is the one that moves things. He is the master chess master. He is the faithful one. And we say, hallelujah. You know, those of us who've been here during the month of November, Simon's been going through the book of Luke. And he's been talking about Christ, the life of Christ. And we saw where he was born, where he was baptized, where he went into the wilderness, and then he went into Nazareth, and he was teaching. And he stood up and said a passage from Scripture from Isaiah, and he said, this is fulfilled in your eyes. And he was referring to, Simon called it, the manifesto of Christ. And then the following weeks, he showed in the Scriptures how Jesus was fulfilling each one of those statements of his manifesto, the planks of his statement. And not only with Simon's sermon, but other sermons I've seen and my own Bible reading, I come across that same idea, that the manifesto of Christ. And I thought, wow, it just thrilled me. And then when I was reading and preparing for this Sunday in verses 7, 8, and 9, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. I thought, wow, that's just what the manifesto was that Jesus had spoken. And that thrilled me because it just shows me afresh how much the Bible is interlinked, how one part connects with the other. It is one book, the worship of God. Hallelujah, we say. We see that God is in control. He is the Almighty, the all-powerful God. Nothing is too hard for him. And when you're worried what the future might hold, when you're fearful with this world situation, your home situation, your job, or your health, be assured that God is in control. He reigns forever and ever, for all generations. He's the one that we can trust. And he's the one that gives us joy. So in the midst of all this, we can praise God, who is in the detail, doing his wonderful works. And we can say, hallelujah. This is a psalm of praise to God that brings joy. I would urge you, as you look around, as you walk, look at the small details, the beauty of whatever you have. Look at the flowers and how they're made. Stop and pause and think that God has made those and there's a purpose in it. He's in the detail. He makes things beautiful. I was once told that when God created us, he could have made everything the same color, everything green. But he's given us eyes to see different colors. He could have made everything taste the same. Chocolate could taste like mashed potatoes. We wouldn't like that. But God's given us, he's given us variety. He's given us taste. We can enjoy things because that's the kind of God we have. God is in the detail. And one final challenge. This week, when you're at your work, whether it's paid or unpaid or whatever you do, give yourself time and space to wonder at the detail God has done in creation and recognize that you, your work, is part of God's great work in the world. To close, it's an Advent prayer for all of us. And let's pray this together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. As we pause in this busy season, help us to see afresh the wonder of your Son and to let us fire our lives. Fill us with praise as we seek to live for you in all we do. Amen.